Historians believe that at the time, the king's army was fully equipped with Western and Eastern weapons. This army was defined and equipped with the purpose of fighting against the communists, military organizations, and international blockings, and more importantly, responsible for protecting the monarchy. In different occasions, the king awarded these militants with different medals and signs of merit to make them more dependent on himself. However, when the Islamic Revolution showed its endless power to the king, the army couldn't do a very good job of protecting the throne. It just marched and performed military maneuvers and showed its cannons and tanks to the people. Separation of the main body of the army, which consisted of a large number of junior officers, minor officers, and conscripts who belonged to the ordinary and sometimes religious class of the society, from the other body of the army, which consisted of a few high-ranking and senior commanders who carried different kinds of medals and signs for bravery, without having any bravery at all, created disunity and dispersion in the army. This was the most important sanctuary for the king. The main body of the army considered itself dependent on the beliefs of the common people, therefore they accompanied the people and didn't participate in any financial collusions of the army and refrained from dissipations of senior officials of the army. When it was time for the king and his dependent commanders to fight against the people and their wise leader, the main body of the army, which consisted of 95% of it, were unwilling to obey the king's commands. Therefore, there were many reports about the officers and conscripts escaping from the army or about their disobedience. Practically, it made the army inefficient in its activities against the people. On the other hand, Imam Khomeini's efficient management in encountering the militants and inviting the people not to fight with them resulted in paralyzing the army's activities against people in practice.
ارتش با این وضعی که الان هست و قیامی که ملت کرده است معلوم نیست که وفادار به شاه باشند، بلکه ملت از خود اونهاست و اونها هم از ملت است و ملت به واسطه همبستگی که به هم دارد یک قدرتی دارد که ارتش را بالاخره جذب می کند و این امریکایی ها هستند که به واسطه تأثیری که در ارتش دارند ارتش را نگه داشتند که شاه را نگه دارد و الا خود ارتش معلوم نیست که وفادار باشند و اگر فی‌الجمله هم باشند ملت اونها را به خود جذب خواهد کرد.
The king and his military commanders had great power, but they couldn't use it. This way, the army, which was equipped from the five previous decades, was not at all willing to fire their guns at the people in order to defend the monarchy and the throne. The people put flowers in the barrels of the guns and kissed the soldiers and said, "The army is our brother." One of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi's staunch supporters, who still considers Mohammad Reza his king after 30 years, has interesting remarks. Daryush Homayun, the Minister of Intelligence and Tourism in Hoveyda's cabinet, says, "Iran's army was in fact organized for preventing a coup. In his 37 years of reign, King Mohammad Reza tried to organize the army and make some arrangements in the army to prevent a coup. He had done this very well. Another factor effective in the alienation of the army from the society was the presence of tens of thousands of American agents and counselors in the army who were in fact the absolute owners and the main commanders of the king's army. The Americans, who enjoyed absolute diplomatic and judicial immunity based on the shameful capitulation agreement enacted in the Senate and Counseling Parliament in 1964, were apparently responsible for training the forces and providing modern equipment. It could strongly be said that they had authority over all the affairs in the army. Even Mohammad Reza Pahlavi didn't have the right to object or meddle in the affairs of these counselors and commanders. The imposed presence of the Americans humiliated the army men, and the same feeling of humiliation provoked deep rage and hatred in them. This rage and hatred was hidden for years because of the suppressive and stifling conditions in the country, but the king thought that everyone in the army was willing to follow his commands. He didn't know that the deep trend of liking Islam and patriotism had penetrated to the main body of the army. Owing to being completely far from the Iranian people in the society and relying merely on the power and support of the Americans, the king's regime didn't even have a correct idea about its own army. From the summer of 1978, the king entered the army in a direct fight against the people. First declaring a curfew in Isfahan and then in 11 other big cities, forcing thousands of soldiers to go to the streets. Months of the army men's presence in the streets allowed them to witness people's demonstrations and slogans. Marshal Gharibaghi, the last chairman of the joint staff of the army in Pahlavi's era, wrote in the book of his memories, "At the beginning of the declaration of curfew, if they did not assign soldiers to the streets for 6 months, the event of September the 8th wouldn't have happened. They gave contrasting commands to the soldiers. One day, they told them to shoot, and another day not to shoot. The soldiers were looking on and didn't enforce the curfew. They let the people come and pass with no hesitation. The people came and passed and demonstrated and insulted the king, yet the soldiers just looked on. Little by little, the people came and talked to the soldiers one by one. They told them what they worked in the army. They asked them not to do it. Their parents wrote letters to them too. The point is that they used religion for their purpose, and most of the armed forces were Shias. They believed in religion, and so did their parents. For example, a mother wrote a letter and said she wouldn't forgive his son if he worked in the army. There was conflict almost in every house. Even husbands and wives separated. Even on the last days, when I was the state minister, Lieutenant General Mohaqiqi told me that his daughter had broken up with her husband. It happened both in high ranks and low ranks. It was a very bad situation. Parents wrote letters from the villages and asked their children why they were working in the army and asked them to go back. But the most important factor in attracting the army to the people and the revolution was Imam Khomeini's impressive and unique leadership and his great followers. Because of his deep spiritual and Islamic trainings, Imam Khomeini loved all the people and his fellow countrymen, including the army men. Despite his unique influence and legitimacy, Imam Khomeini never used the command of jihad. He always emphasized on enlightening the people so that they become active themselves. Imam's attitude toward the army was based on respect, affection, and the greatness and exaltation of the army and the army men. In his speeches in 1963 and in his speech on February 1, 1979, after coming back to the country after 15 years, he emphasized the necessity of the exaltation of the army men, as he always had. The people of Iran never alienated the army from themselves because of their ethical nature and in accordance with the commands of their great and wise leader, in spite of having so many martyrs. Instead, they separated the army's main body, who were pure Muslims and patriots, from the king's regime through inviting them to the front of the revolution by giving them flowers and candies and showing them affection. They welcomed the army in their coalition front. The king and his defeated followers, who were worried about the victory of the revolution on the one hand and were thinking about selling their properties and escaping the country on the other hand, didn't have a realistic political insight and never understood the difference between power and authority. Whenever a gun is fired, the bullet hits a target. The result is destruction. But the person who fires the gun should have enough self-confidence to shoot the target. The king, who was totally at the imperialist service, had apparently accepted the statements of Mao, the leader of communist China, who said that power comes out of a gun barrel. But the king didn't know that this formula didn't pay off to Mao himself. He was also unaware that a militant is not just a person carrying a weapon. Rather, a militant needs religion and beliefs based on logic and reasoning like any other person. Little by little, Iran's army found this religion and belief in the revolution front and was inclined to it, and converted to it religiously. In the process of the reconciliation between the army and the people and the revolution, some great men inside the army made substantial contributions, in which a lot of the religious army men who fought bravely alongside the revolution and Islam were martyred. They were the main factors in spreading Islam in the army and pulled the army men toward Imam, the people, and revolution. Some of these people include Martyr Lieutenant General Qarani, Martyr Major General Namju, Martyr Major Pilot Ahmad Keshvari, the Exalted Martyr of Islam Major General Ali Sayyad Shirazi, Martyr Kolahduz, Martyr Brigadier Generals Fakhuri and Fallahi, and many other brave and gallant army men. These men, with the leadership of the supreme leader, turned Iran's army into the most popular army in the world with their scholastic, ethical, and disciplinary jihad based on religion and brotherhood. The pure, popular, and holy army of the Islamic Republic of Iran is an army which has been established based on a great decision and choice. It was knowledge and virtue. This great decision manifested itself on February the 8th, 1979, when the anti-people government of Bakhtiar and the Americans wanted to shed lots of blood by relying on the army. On February the 7th, Imam Khomeini issued an important message. The supreme leader, who was only 38 years old at that time, was appointed to deliver the message to the sergeants of the Air Force because he had a close relationship with the revolutionist army men. Imam's logical statements and his robust and impressive tone had a deep effect on the army men's exhausted soul and body and prepared them for attending a great event. That message revived the hearts of those army men, and an epic took place which will be remembered in the history of Iran's army forever. The amazing presence of the officers, minor officers, and sergeants of the King's Army's Air Force in front of Imam for swearing allegiance and an everlasting promise for leaving the King's Army and being at the service of the religion, the country, and the people showed that the way to penetrate their hearts and unite their chaste souls was a way that only God worshippers were able to understand and observe. On September the 8th, 1979, all the wizardry of the American wizards and domestic inveiglers was neutralized, and Iran knew its real leader and commander, and under that divine leadership, they gained a lot of achievements during 3 decades.
من یک بار به شما برادران ارتشی گفتم که ارتش یکی از جاهایی است که در اون آمریکا شکست خورد، رژیم طاغوتی شکست خورد، تبلیغات خصمانه دشمن شکست خورد، خیلی روی ارتش کار کردند، خیلی به ارتش اونها امید بستند، اشتباه میکردن، خیال میکردن که چون 4 خودباخته بی ایمان و بی وطن رو آوردند در رأس ارتش زمان طاغوت نشوندند، خیال میکردن که ارتش مال اونهاست، در حالی که ارتش مال اسلام بود، مال ایران بود، مال ملت بود. الحمدلله برگشت به جایگاه خودش.
The army of the Islamic Republic of Iran showed that it had trained honorable children in its hidden interior. Today, this army is the pride and the sanctuary of the people. This army showed that jihad is very different from war. This army is the army of jihad, monotheism, and ethics. It is a miracle of braveness and sincerity, which passed the difficulties thanks to the blood of the revolution martyrs and the thoughtful leadership of the supreme leader, Imam Khomeini, and it is at the disposition of the people.